You got your Bibles, you turn to Matthew 25. I just want to thank Preacher Josh for this opportunity. I think this is a good number here. Y'all pray for my grandma, she might get right tonight. I don't know. I love you, Mama. Yeah, probably. Well, if you're at Matthew 25, if you will, neighbor, will you stand and read in honor and reference to God's word? In verse 1 it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heavens be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oils with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried and they slumbered and slept, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh.'" He's coming again. Amen. "Go ye out and meet him." "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, you know I need your blessings, Lord. I need your touch. I need your mercy. I'm nothing without thee, Lord. I pray that you empty of myself, fill me with your spirit. Just help me be a blessing to these people, Lord. We give you all the honor and glory and praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to get you a quick and simple thought that God laid on my heart. Now, we understand Matthew is a transitional book. We're dealing with the Jews. And in this book, he's the king, and he's the king of kings, amen? And notice, if you read Matthew, in chapter 13, something happens. That's when the parabolic state begins, and Jesus starts using parables to teach and to reach these Jews, because he's preparing them for the blinding of the king and the kingdom. A parable is a way in which God conceals truth so he can reveal it to a certain few. The Jews have rejected him, so that's why he's preparing them for this parabolic state. As we look at the parable, we read, we understand that who is intended for, and for the sake of my message, I would just like to point it towards the church of the day. We understand that in Jewish traditions, marriage is a big custom. You know, they take it real highly, and there's a bridegroom, there's a marriage that we bow to, that it's going to be real ceremonial too. Amen. There's a bunch of preparations, sacrifices, and time. Well, he's preparing a place for us. He sacrificed himself for us, and he's coming again for us. Amen. And the introduction verses, the verses at the beginning, Jesus says about the 10 virgins are all equally true. Each of them are virgins. They all had lamps. They each had a vessel. And they all went forth to meet the bridegroom. The oil is what makes them difference between the wise and the foolish. It shows us that having a form of religion is not enough. It don't matter if you was brought up in this thing or you just birthed in yesterday. You all get in the same way. We all come through one man, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And throughout Scripture, we understand that the oil represents the Holy Spirit. For Psalms 45:7 says, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." And I tell you, when he anointed me with that oil, I got a joy inside my soul. I can't do nothing about it, I tell you that. Psalms 141:5 says, "Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil." Now, let me tell you something. If you're born again, you're a Christian, you got the oil in you. If you do something wrong, he gonna smite you. He gonna reprove you. And if he don't, you might want to get that checked out. You know what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians 6:19 said, "What do you know? Not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. You're not your own. You've been bought for." So for the next few moments, let me show you what it would cost to have no oil in your vessel. My first point, if you're taking notes, is having no oil in your vessel would cost you your purpose in life. Now, I'm not saying like you don't have no purpose in life. I'm saying your true purpose in life. John 4:23, and preacher quoted this morning, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such worship." He desires our worship. 1 John 5:12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Now, you get what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? We have a purpose. We was created. Before the fall, our purpose was to glorify, and purpose was to worship God. Isaiah 43 says, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. I have made him. 1 Corinthians 6:24. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We were separated from God. He bought, and he not only formed us and made us, he bought us with a price. Now, if we look at verse 8, it says, verse 8 of the text, it said, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out. So if you don't have no light, if you don't have no oil for your lamp, you can't shine. You ain't worshiping. So you wonder, why did God call them fools? God calls them fools because there is no such thing as an atheist. All y'all people in college or in school with these scientists professing atheism, my Bible says God don't believe in no atheism. And Romans 1:18-22 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. So right there tells you, ain't no atheists. They know God. It's in them. Showed it unto them from the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, which they glorify science, putting science on, idolizing. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Right there, that's why God calls them a fool. And if you look at verse 8 in Matthew, it says their light has gone out. They had the light with them. You go back to 19. It was manifested in them. Verse 8 says it gone out. They know God existed.
Yes, sir.
And these atheists, they say, oh, well, y'all Christians, y'all have a bunch of faith, don't you? Well, let me tell you what. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I'll tell you that. This is what atheists believe. Atheists believe chaos causes non-chaos. Order comes from non-order. Life comes from non-life. And conscious come from non-light, and my favorite, humans come from monkeys. Yeah. But remember, in John 43, God says he seeks such worship to him. Psalms 95:6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our Lord, our Maker. Psalms 99:5 says, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy and only he is holy. Remember when Satan was tempting Jesus, and he says he just wanted worship for him. And Jesus, what did he say? He said, thou shalt worship that God, thy Lord, thou God, and him only serve, in Matthew 4:10. He was referring back to Deuteronomy 6:13. And notice that he didn't say what some of these Calvinists says, because all Calvinists quote is men, like, oh, well, John Calvin said this, John MacArthur said this. No, he says the scripture says, thou shalt worship thy Lord, thou God, and serve, and him only serve. And so you see what Satan tries to do. He just wants you to worship anything outside of the one true God. And if he can do that, he can get your vessel empty of oil. He can get that oil starting to drain. Eventually, it can cut out. But if you've been born again, that thing ain't never going to cut out. Amen. And my second point, having no oil in your vessel would cost you your pardon of sin. Look at verse 10. And while they went out to buy the bridegroom, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The second coming will be sudden, with no warning, no time to make preparations. Notice it says, they that were ready. They were ready, meaning they have oil. Having oil means they have the Holy Spirit. Having the Holy Spirit means you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being cleansed under the blood means our sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jeremiah 31:34, the Lord saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Oh, that blessed my heart. A God that will never remember our sins ever again. Our hidden sins, sins that we do out in the open, he will never forgive them. Me and Preacher Josh went and heard Sammy Allen. He gave this illustration. It touched my heart, and I'm going to steal it. Sammy Allen used this illustration. He says, it don't matter. Somebody does something to you when you're a little kid. You see them 15, 20 years down the road. The first thing that pops up in your head is what they done to you.
Sure.
Somebody does something to you yesterday, First thing you see them today popped up in your head. Oh, well, that person did that. That's them demons trying. Imagine a merciful God that when he looks at you, he don't see nothing but the blood of his son. He don't see nothing but the blood of his son. In 1 John 1:7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Well, I meant, okay. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. That word cleanseth means that he don't just cleanse us today and then tomorrow he might not cleanse. That means he just continues to cleanse us. When we sin, he's going to cleanse us again. But we got to confess it, because in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Micah 7:18, who is a God unlike to thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression of the raiment of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Let me tell you, friends, he wants to forgive you. He delighteth in the mercy that he wants to bestow upon you. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Remember when Paul was giving his testimony to the King Agrippa in Acts 26:17-18, Jesus knocked him off his donkey. Y'all know the story. But this is when he was on trial and was giving his testimony before the king. And this is what the Lord said to him. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Because when we was Gentiles, we had no way to get to God. No way at all. He sent Paul, sent him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And he says that we may receive forgiveness and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in him. Colossians 1:13-14, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now my third and last point, having no oil in your vessel will cost you your place in heaven. Now if we look at verse 11 and 12, afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now, if we turn a few chapters back to Matthew 7, it sounds real familiar. 21-23 states, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out many out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So who won't make it into heaven? Believers, which are the fools, the lovers of the flesh, lovers of the world, and the ones who reject the Christ. Because 1 John 2:15-16 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And as preacher preached the other day, pride is the root of all sins. You can trace all sin that we do back to pride. It's not the Father, but is of the world. Galatians 5:19-21 says, now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, with Calvinism, envying, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, which I tell you before, I also tell you in time past, that they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:5, for this we know, ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, of Christ and of God. 1 Colossians 6:9-11. Know ye not that the unrighteousness shall inherit the kingdom of God, but not be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye were washed, but ye were sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I just praise his holy name right there, because that was a couple of them I've committed, but I was justified and I was sanctified in the name of our Lord. The word of God makes it clear who would not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, you say, preacher, we all been unrighteous. I've drank my beer. I popped my pills. I drank my liquor. I smoked my pot. I've lied to my parents. I stole a candy bar. I committed fornication. I envied my neighbor. I had greed in my heart. I had pride. I had strife in my heart. Are you saying I'm not going to make it to heaven? I say, if you're not being John 3:3, born again, washing the blood of the Lamb of God, you got oil in your vessel and the Holy Spirit lived within you, you won't make it. I'm just sorry. I mean, the Bible's clear. The only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. So let me tell you what Calvary does. Calvary will take a wretched soul, a wannabe thug, wannabe gangbanger, tattooed up, smoking, drinking, popping pills, selling dope, robbing, stealing, didn't have no care for life, didn't have no care about dying, didn't care if he killed or be killed. But you want me to show you what that cross right there did to me? That cross, I have that man up here right now standing, preaching to you the word of God tonight. Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are of the light in the Lord. Walk as children as the light. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all of all them that believe, for there is no difference. We are made righteous by Jesus Christ. If you have any righteousness in you tonight, it didn't come from you. It came from the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of him in God. There again shows you that any righteousness comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So they say, well, God's a merciful God. God's a caring God. God's a loving God. God's a love of grace. Oh, yeah, God's all that thing. You're right. People at work will say, I don't see how God would send somebody to hell. I just don't understand. I just don't understand how a sensible sinner can reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's ask that question instead of why a loving God would send somebody to hell. Let's ask, why would somebody reject Jesus Christ, a free gift of salvation? Hell wasn't a place prepared for you. Hell was prepared for the devil and his demons and the angels that rebel. And since God is love, love is a free will action. I can't force nobody to love me. I can display my love towards people. The best display ever shown to mankind was shown right there on that cross. That was the best display ever shown. And I just thank God for his mercy and grace tonight, Lord.
Wonderful.